Good morning, each one of you this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I feel my need this morning to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your love towards us. We thank you, Father, for dying for wretched mankind to lift us up, to raise us up, and Father, to seat us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus this morning. Father, we ask that you would be with us today as we come to you to worship you, to gather in the house of the Lord and to hear your word preached. Father, we ask that you would be in our hearts and minds and give us wisdom. I do pray, Lord, that as I'm here this morning, Father, you know my weaknesses, you know my needs. And I ask, Lord, that as I share these few words and thoughts, that you would be there and you would give unction, Father. For we know unless you give the unction, it is but in vain that we stand here this morning. And so we covet your presence. We covet your presence here with us this morning. And we just ask that you would bless each one and give wisdom and direction. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning I have a few thoughts to share with you, and I will say that in the beginning here that it is mainly things that I've been thinking about in my own life, and we've been considering and putting into perspective some of the things that have happened in our lives and things that continue to happen, and questioning and wondering and pondering so many different thoughts. And so with some of the things I share this morning, there's nothing here that I'm throwing out at anyone. There's only things that I've been considering for myself and just really pondering what are the steps in life that we're taking and where are we going. If I would title the message this morning, if I'd have a title for it, I don't know that I really, that this is what it has to be. But it is, do we know God? Do I know God? A lot of these thoughts I actually just wrote down as they came to me. I'd like to start out in John 14 for an opening scripture and a little bit of a context of the few thoughts I have. John chapter 14 and verse 9. I'll give you a few moments to turn there. John chapter 14, verse 9. I'll begin reading here. Jesus saith unto him. I guess we should probably start with verse 8, just to get a little bit of the context. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? And the burden that was on my heart this morning was in the first part of that verse. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Jesus walked daily with Philip. From what we can gather, Philip was with Jesus. He was one of the disciples. And he was walking with Jesus for we don't know how many years. I don't know how many years at least. Maybe there's someone that does. But as he was walking with Jesus and seeing the miracles and he's seen the wonderful things that he did. And yet here in John 14, Jesus says, Have I been so long time with you and yet you still don't know me? My question to you and to me this morning is, we have been so long time with Jesus. We have been so long time Do I know Jesus? We hear about Him. We come here every Sunday morning, or we gather someplace every Sunday morning, and we read about Him, and we hear about Him. We have Him preached. It is preached to us. We have much knowledge, but do we know Him? Are we puffed up? Am I puffed up in our understanding of the Lord? Knowledge is great, and in-depth understanding of Scripture is something I desire more of. But knowledge and a simple faith in daily life must go hand in hand. And as I was pondering, as I was considering, I wonder how many of us, I wonder how often I sit and listen and I hear the Word of God. I hear words preached to us. I hear things. I read the Scriptures and I hear things and my heart says, that's beautiful. That's nice. Wow, that's really something. But does it change me? Does it make a difference in my life? Does it make a difference in the way I live? All around us, we're surrounded with people. And this is a few of the experiences we've had in the last couple of weeks. We have a new guy at work. He's just a Christian from, I don't know, he's not a Christian. He's from mainstream society. And he knows a lot about the Scripture. And he knows a lot. There's many things that he knows. And yet, if Scripture is talked, he does not believe Scripture. He does not believe what is said in the Scripture. But I wonder, how often is that the way I live? Or we live? Our belief and our knowledge. Our knowledge, we must go hand in hand. My thoughts get a little mixed up there. It has to affect our daily life. We hear things. Take, for example, this is just one thing I thought of this morning, of 1 John 3:14. All of us know this verse. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. This is just an example. We all know this verse. Yet, do we really know it? Do we really believe it? Do we really believe the Word of God this morning? Do we believe that if we don't love our brother, we are abiding in death? How can a man say that he loveth God and hateth his brother? That may be a little paraphrased. Just one example out of Scripture that I thought of this morning. There could be many others that we could talk about this morning. Do I really believe the Word of God? If I believe that, and if I practice that, that is where the knowing, the knowledge, the relationship with the Lord come hand in hand. Let's turn to James 2:17. Yes, James chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. It's talking about Abraham here. Or it's talking about faith and works, and then Abraham is talked about later. James chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Let's read verse 22 as well. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Abraham heard God, and he obeyed. He listened and received the word of God promptly, and he obeyed. Abraham believed God. Abraham heard God. He didn't have just this mystical faith that believes God and says, here's good things, and says that was good. He did far more than said that was good. He took his son, he took his donkeys, and he took the wood, and he left. And from our understanding, from what I understand, it seems like he did it very promptly. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Here again we have a picture of being a doer of the word, of being a man or a woman that when he hears the word of God, or she hears the word of God, he's a doer. Instead of hearing the word of God, skimming over it, and moving on. I think it affects us. It affects me far more than I realize. We hear, there's just a phrase that we hear. It says, to the victor go the spoils. Could we say here that to the doer go the spoils? To the one that hears the word of God and does it, to him is given the reward. There's no reward given for those that just have knowledge. There's no reward given for those that just have an in-depth understanding, which is great and good and wonderful. But the reward is given to them that read, hear, and obey. To them is the knowledge of God. They have the knowledge of God. Many hear the word and say, brother, that's a good word. But does it bring forth much fruit? Others, and this is something else that I think we need to consider in what we're talking about this morning, is others might hear the word and say, I wonder if brother so-and-so is here this morning. That's just what he needs. I found myself saying that. I found myself doing that. Do we do that? Are we here this morning hearing the word of God and applying the truth that we hear to our own lives and allowing them to affect us personally? The world is full of these hearers and those that do nothing. But what about us? I believe today that the church is equally as guilty of it. We must hear and do the will of God. And I think many times when we find ourselves in these situations, many times when we hear and find ourselves in hearing a truth and we say, that is a good truth. That is really good. The reason we don't practice it, the reason we don't take it to heart, is because somehow we realize that if we do that, it's going to affect our lives. Somehow, some way. And it can be different for everyone. And I don't know what it may be for you. And I know what some of it may be for me. Many times there's a root of sin or pride that is keeping us or I from receiving the word of God without reservation In the last chapter, the last verse, I believe it is, in 1 John, this really caught my attention the other day as I was driving. I was listening to this, and I think it was the last. Sometimes it's a little hard to, when you're driving, to pay attention to completely where the verses come in context or where it comes. But I believe it's the last verse of 1 John. The last chapter, last verse of 1 John, he says, it goes, I think it's, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And as I've been considering that the last several days, what are the idols? He's talking in 1 John, from what I can gather, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people that know the Word of God. He's talking to people about loving their brothers and loving one another and all of that in 1 John. But then he closes it with, keep yourselves from idols. We like to hold on things that are hard to sacrifice, things that are hard to sacrifice on the altar of where I and brokenness meet. Many times we hold on to little things in our lives because we know when those things are put on the altar, I meet with brokenness. And when those two meet, there's nothing left. I is dealt with and crucified and nailed to the cross, where I surrender to Jesus Christ, where surrender to Jesus Christ is full and complete without any reserve or reservation, without any consideration of what this will cost me. And I think when we come to that place, when we come to the place of surrender and yieldness and brokenness in a situation, and we realize that whatever we've been hanging on to is not worth hanging on to anymore. Whatever we've had in our life that we've been holding on to for so long is no longer worth hanging on to. That is when we can find true rest in hearing and obeying the Word of God. Colossians 3, I'll just turn there quickly. I need closing here. I don't have... Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Very familiar verses again. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Are our affections... Where are our affections? Where are our dearest possessions? Where are the things that we hold the closest? Are they on things above? Are they yielded and submitted to the one and only who can hold all things together? And if we're where we're supposed to be, we're dead anyway. We're dead anyway. We're supposed to be dead. We're to be yielded. And our life is to be hid with Christ. With Christ and in God. And I don't understand all of that. That when He shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. When we are in the place where God can take us, where the knowledge and the doing of the will of God meet, then God can truly use us. When our knowledge and our obedience to the Word of God come together in a pure faith, that pure and undefiled faith, that is when our lives can truly be lives that are changed and lives that can change, that can be a witness to others around us. That's all I have. Thank you.